Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update, an original podcast from Charles Schwab, provides an information-packed daily market recap in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Jonathan Farrell and Lisa Abramowitz. Daily, we bring you insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. Find Bloomberg Surveillance on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Bloomberg Terminal.
Joining us now is Vasily Serebryakov, the FX and macro strategist at UBS. Vasily, talk to me about what you think about what we've just heard from this ECB.
Yeah, well, I think the market reaction makes sense. We got 50 basis points, which is kind of in line with the Bloomberg story that came out a few days ago. Clearly, the points that you've been making about forward guidance apply not just to you, not just to ECB, but to other central banks as well. We've seen those quick turnarounds. Yeah. And changes of mind, and look, I mean, that's the inflation picture in Europe and globally. It just forces central banks to front load. It really made no sense to end up with negative rates at the end of this meeting, and that's what the ECB decided. To Tom's point, I think the fragmentation tool is probably longer term the more important variable for the euro. So we're going to be anxious to see all the details
all
on
right.
that front.
Vasily, to me, what's so important here is nonlinearity. We're getting to a restrictive state within the Central Bank of the United States. We're nowhere near that with the ECB. How nonlinear is Lagarde's trip to the end of 2022 and into next year? This gets ever more difficult, doesn't it?
It doesn't get easy. I think the problem for some of the central banks that are front loading right now, if you're going to front load and then get to neutral and then stop, but inflation is not slowing, then what do you do, right? The ECB is going a little bit slower, as you pointed out. At least they're starting later. We do think they probably get to at least 1.5% by next year, which is starting to push them into neutral or restrictive as well. But again, the key variable here is how quickly can inflation start coming down in order for those central banks to actually stop where they think they're going to stop, and that's probably the key question for the markets. And then, of course,
yeah,
I think increasingly from here, it's going to be the growth inflation mix, right? The growth inflation mix has been very, very bad. They're hoping it's they can hike without triggering an even deeper downturn, but that's very much an open question.
Well, to that point, Vasily, can this bounce we're seeing in the euro stick?
Yeah, it's very hard to see that stick for a very long time. And I think the problem is it's not just about the fragmentation, right? So we'll see about the details of this instrument. I agree with Tom's point in the sense that if it's open ended, that's a very good signal, right? If it's not limited, that might get us to, let's say, 103, 103.5 as far as the euro dollar. The problem is the some of the bigger issues related to European growth are still there, right? And this is gas supplies, and what are we going to do this winter? So in that sense, I think most investors that we talked to are still quite negative on the euro, and probably getting ready to sell to sell the rallies. The whatever the ECB does today, unfortunately, doesn't really change the threat of a deeper downturn. In the next 6 months, if indeed we move to things like energy supply rationing in Europe.
Vasily, truly historic. Haven't been able to say these words for a long time, have we? Vasily Serebryakov there of UBS, the first interest rate hike from the ECB since 2011.
Gilles Mouak, we are honored that he is with us today. He's the chief economist at AXA Investment Management and is arguably the most read axe in market economics in Europe. Gilles, let me ask you an open question right now. What will you listen for, ex ante or ex post, from Christine Lagarde?
It's going to be an interesting sell for Christine Lagarde, because what they've actually done today is, by going to 50, whereas the ad actually telegraphed 25, they've basically got rid of forward guidance. We used to have a pretty precise forward guidance from the ECB. And since they've done something which is quite different from what they had announced last time, accordingly, they've just said that for the next moves, for the next decisions, it will be a meeting-by-meeting process. It will be completely data-dependent. So I guess journalists are going to try to extract as much information from Christine Lagarde as to what the next moves are going to be, and I would expect her to be extremely guarded, because that's a new regime, basically. We have a central bank today which is telling us, okay, I rip the Band-Aid, I got 50, and sorry, I told you something different in June. And for what's going to come up next, well, we'll see. So it's going to be, I think, an interesting debate. The other issue, obviously, is on the rules of engagement of TPI, since that is the name of the anti-fragmentation weapon. It's likely to be quite a big instrument, and possibly a convincing instrument on paper. We'll have the details a bit later. But the question everyone has is, what are the conditions, what are the circumstances under which you would actually activate it? And consensus right now, and I agree with that, is that given the nature of the crisis currently in Italy, which is a home ground, political crisis, it's unlikely that you could use an anti-fragmentation instrument to deal with this. So I guess Christine Lagarde is going to have a lot of questions on, what are exactly those engagement rules.
So Gilles, there's 2 points there. There's one on interest rates and the other is on TPI. Let's just start with rates and finish up there. They're not going to give us a guide towards what they're going to do in September. I get all of that. What she needs to establish in this news conference is the reaction function of this ECB. What they have led us to believe is that the next move is a hike. They're basically saying that further normalization of interest rates will be appropriate. What they're not telling us is the size of that hike. Gilles, do you have a decent understanding of what the economic data points will be that influence the decision between 25 and 50, and how we're meant to understand the incoming data, internalize that, and come up with a view about what this means for ECB rate hikes?
Well, clearly, CPI prints, that will be important. Even if by September, honestly, we are unlikely to have a big change, actually, in the kind of information we'll get from CPI prints. So you probably want to go up the pipeline, basically, of inflationary pressure. I think a key issue is what's going to happen with wage growth. And that's a problem we have specifically in Europe, because data, reliable data on wage growth, come very, very late, much later than they do in the US. So when you have a central bank making decisions basically on the risks of second round effects from inflation, you need to know exactly where the labor market is going and whether or not we are seeing some proper wage acceleration. So that is going to be key. And probably also a side issue, which is unfortunately very binary, and which actually probably explains why the ECB doesn't want to give us any kind of forward guidance, is what the Russians are going to do with gas. Because news today is that apparently there's at least a trickle of gas supply going through Nord Stream 1, but we never know whether or not this is going to be this is going to continue for several months, or whether or not we'll have another maintenance period in which the Russians cut access to gas. And that is super binary. In Europe, basically, the border between stagnation and a proper and a significant recession is whether or not we still have access to Russian gas by the winter. So that might actually be quite an important input in their reaction function.
Gilles, just briefly then on TPI, the conditionality around this. Hard to make a call at the moment, but best guess, What do you think it will be?
I don't think it's going to be big. I think it's going to be about, you know, the next generation EU program is going to be about, you know, complying with the European surveillance, fiscal surveillance rules, which actually at the moment have been suspended. I don't think it's going to be heavy. The problem is that for those milestones to be ticked, you know, for this kind of even live conditionality to be complied with, you need a government. You need a government in Italy that actually, you know, plays according to the rules. And, you know, that's the big question mark at the moment.
Well, and there's a conversation happening on our top live blog on the Bloomberg Terminal right now about the fact that you got the 50 basis points, which appeases the hawks, but you also got at the same time this TPI, which appeases the doves, because then you have a crisis management tool to ensure that the transmission is smooth. If it doesn't work as intended, does the ECB get stuck here at zero?
It's a possibility. I would doubt it, because my impression is that, you know, they've raised the bar quite high. They really, really want to normalize. Now, it's true that once you've hit zero, possibly the debate changes a little bit, because at the Governing Council, you had a number of people, including among the doves, who never actually liked negative interest rate in the first place, who've always thought that it was controversial, possibly counterproductive. Once you've brought policy rates to zero, it's a slightly different conversation. Yeah. However, you know, given the kind of inflation we have in pipeline, it would take a lot, I think, for the ECB to stop normalizing from where we are right now.
Okay, so maybe they won't stop normalizing entirely, but how much do you think they'll actually be able to normalize? What rate do you think they will get to before the economy forces them to stop?
My forecast is that at the end of the year, they're at 1%, which is, you know, the lower end of the range that they gave us for what they consider to be neutral rates. So end of 23, if, you know, we avoid a catastrophe linked to the gas situation, you know, they might go to the middle of that neutral range, around 150, but that would probably the maximum of what I could expect. Then there is a significant risk that they get stuck at 1% if, you know, we end up with a very significant slowdown, and if, you know, wage growth decelerates instead of accelerating. But, you know, the natural slope, I think, for the ECB is to really get at least into this neutral range, which is at least at 1%.
Jill, I think I've been talking to you on and off for about 10 years, and this is the first time we've got to talk about a rate hike from the ECB. Jill, thank you. Jill Mark of AXA Investment Management.
Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Join host Keith Lansford for this information-packed daily market recap, delivered in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcast. That's schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
We got Mark Chandler, Bannockburn Chief Market Strategist here. Mark, Tom and I were just talking about kind of what we've seen from the ECB this morning, the surprise 50 basis point rate hike. We saw strength initially in the euro, but it seemed to be giving that up. What are your takeaways?
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think that the ECB surprised many people by hiking 50 basis points. So Bloomberg had the leak earlier this week. And when the leak first came out, an unsourced report saying that, you know, officials close to the ECB are talking about a 50 basis point hike, I recognize that as a likely quid pro quo for what now Lagarde calls the TPI, the Transmission Protection Instrument. I think that the market had been set up for a buy the rumor, sell the fact in any event. You think about what's happened. The euro rallied from about 99.5 cents to about 102.5 cents in the first 3 or 4 days of this week. And so I thought this was a short covering move. And I think now the focus shifts to the Federal Reserve, which is going to hike rates most likely by 75 basis points next week. That means that the rate differential, the policy rate differential, is moving in the U.S.'s favor by 25 basis points this month.
Okay, the rate differential's there, but also it's about confidence in the economy. And Mark Chandler, and you've been so good about folding in foreign exchange dynamics over to what GDP actually does. There's a headline in the blur here where she says their run rate is there's no recession in Europe. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I think, you know, this I think is just the typical kind of central bank talk. I mean, what central bank really forecasts a recession? Like, the Fed doesn't. I think that the odds of a European recession are increasing, but I think the odds of a U.S. recession are increasing too, and Powell is not going to say that next week.
Do you have a call in euro at Bannockburn? Can you give us a single point call 5 days out on euro?
5 days out, I think we're going to be lower. I think that we're going to be having to go back and test that 99.5 cent area that we saw last week. And I think I would expect that before the FOMC meets and, you know, before they make the decision on 75 basis points, a dollar goes better bid. You know, besides the ECB, the other big thing today, of course, is that Italy political crisis and those spreads are widening. Yep. And typically those widening spreads works against the euro.
Are they a candidate for the TPI ex ante crisis tool?
Well, you know, I think that Lagarde tried to put a best face on it, but first she told us it's a secondary tool. The first tool is going to be the flexibility with the recycling or reinvesting of the emergency purchases they already made. I see the euro going through yesterday's low. This is really setting up a very poor technical condition for the next few days.
I mean, Paul, I make jokes about it, but I adore Klaus Regling, who I've seen twice in the last 6 months, who's at the absolute pivot point of these discussions.
Yep.
He is an esteemed diplomat and economist from Germany, and I can't fathom Lagarde and Regling talking about the future of Italy. I can't imagine
it's always, it seems like it's always front and center. Mark, so as we think about the U.S. Federal Reserve, we think about July 27th, we train our attention on that. In your mind, is 100 basis points off the table completely?
Well, I'd say the market's pricing in about a 1 in 5 chance of it taking place. I think that the odds of it have really, you know, look at what happened today with the Philly Fed survey. What a big miss. And so I don't think this is going to stay the Fed's hand. I think they just want to do a measured pace. The market's giving them 75 basis points. I think they want to take that.
So what are the key issues here from your perspective as you think about kind of where this economy is going? You know, how much credit do you give the Fed here, I guess, for trying to find that balance between fighting inflation and preventing recession?
I don't really see the Fed putting much emphasis on resisting a recession. I mean, I think Powell really says it right. I mean, I think he says we're really determined to curb inflation.
Okay.
We hope we can avoid a recession. To me, that's like asymmetrical, like threat perception. So I don't see the Fed really trying hard to avoid a recession. I think they're much more focused on inflation. And I think, you know, for so long, these people cried for a Volcker moment, and now they've got a Volcker moment and they get afraid of it.
Mark Chandler, thank you so much. Too short a visit with Bannockburn this morning. This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. Thanks for listening. Join us live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television each day from 6 to 9 a.m. for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. And subscribe to the Surveillance Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the terminal. I'm Tom Keene, and this is Bloomberg.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.